It's been just wonderful to share in tonight and to feel the world coming here into Ashgrove and our dimensions expanding and to sense something of the wonder of belonging to a world which our Lord loves. I felt a great sense of relief to see in the globe behind now the screen that Great Britain was just there, the top left-hand corner, a long way off and very small. I noticed that Australia seemed pretty central to the globe as well. But it's absolutely thrilling to see the way in which we have sensed something. I think it was Billy Brandt who said, "Think globally, act locally." And always when the people of God are truly about his business, they are aware of a whole world to be won, beginning right where we are, locally. And it's just amazing to me that as we saw those children representing some of the countries of the world, and some of us have had the privilege to go to some of those countries, but in all these different cultures and languages and entirely different backgrounds, with human beings sometimes being as different from one another as you can imagine, time after time, men and women are expressing the Lordship of Jesus in exactly the same words. The experiences they've gone through, they express in exactly the same way. And I always wonder what atheists make of that. Because either there's a worldwide conspiracy, which is so incredibly subtle, but all these people in all these different places are being conned by some self-delusion. Or it's true. And it's true. And I want to say also tonight is thrilling. Because of course it begins to show in action already. The great command of Jesus. Where you always look at evangelism, this great commission, there are other commissions too, but this one must surface. Where Jesus calls us to go into all the world. And I want to read to you those verses. You've heard them before. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, crowning the call from verse nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. I want you to pause with me for a few moments to notice two extraordinary things in those verses. And the first is the maximum Jesus. Now, some versions make it plain, but I want to make it clear if you've not noticed it before, but when Jesus comes back to those disciples after his resurrection, there is one word that he uses several times. In fact, he uses it four times in just three sentences. And it's the word all. He says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all things, and I will be with you always. All authority, all nations, all things, always. When Jesus comes to the end of his ministry in Matthew's Gospel, we are to understand that there is a totalness, an allness. There is a maximum Lord, for he dares now to speak about everything, cohering in himself, about himself over all things, about his kingdom over all nations, about his teaching, all that he said, and about his power for all of time. There are several places in the gospel story, especially where I would have loved to have heard the words of Jesus, how he said them, the words of intonation, the emphases. There are sometimes when we're told that he shouted. We're told he shouted on the cross, and with a very loud voice, shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I can't imagine how here at the end of Matthew's Gospel, on that hillside, he could have said anything else, but with the gentleness which comes from an unmistakable authority, because they could see it had happened. He was the risen Lord before their very eyes. He was raised from the dead. And with that firm authority, which those who have true authority only ever need to show. He speaks to them about the maximum authority he has. All authority, all nations, all things, for all time. We must understand that Jesus at the end of the story is the Jesus who now ascended and reigning, who sent his Spirit, is that maximum Lord. And we must never stop before that point. Oh, many peoples would have us. They would stop us midway in the story. There are people who would concentrate on the teachings of Jesus and said, they're wonderful, they're the heart of it all. Listen to what Jesus is telling us in these wonderful stories. There's some who would stop us in the healings and say, just marvel at these healings of Jesus. Just see what's happening there. There are people who would stop in the deep insights of Jesus and dwell upon the deep mysteries and the mysticism of this Master of the Spirit. There are even people who will go to the cross and say, look at this extraordinary event and what was happening there. What would you make of it? But we must never stop there. For it is at the end, as Jesus is raised from the dead and vindicated, and only there, that he was brought low and born in a stable and humbled in flesh. The reading we had at the very beginning tonight. It is only there, in his authority, that he reigns for all things. And his kingdom is there, and he will return, and every knee shall bow. And that's the kind of Lord we have. You know, all sorts of people try to stop us. They try to privatize Jesus. They try to limit him. They concentrate on this, that, or the other. But tonight, on International Night, we must understand that Jesus is Lord of all. He's a maximum Lord. And there isn't anything about you or me or this world that he's not concerned about. And because of that, we must see, secondly, there is maximum discipleship involved. For Jesus, as the maximum Lord with maximum authority over all things, calls forth from those 11 and from all of us who would dare to follow him that same sense of commitment. He wants maximum disciples. And within these verses, we see him asking for two things particularly. The first is that men and women should trust him in his authority. He says, trust me. All authority is given me. Do you believe that? Will you follow me? Jesus says, will you now come, and because of who I am and what I've done and what you've seen, with your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears wide open, seeing and listening, will you crown me Lord of your life, and will you enter my kingdom? Will you trust me? There's a very interesting part of a verse here. I'm sure you've noticed it. Maybe you've stopped and examined it. In verse 17 it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now that word doubt actually means hesitate. And it is quite extraordinary, it seems to me, that at this very point where Jesus is seen, raised from the dead, when the Easter story with those 11 disciples actually commanded to be there, meeting their risen Master, at that very moment of glorious answer to all their yearnings and their dreams, there are some among the 11 who are still hesitating. They're still not at that moment so clear and so sure that there can be that complete and total trust. And I'm glad that's there. Because you see, it's very easy sometimes, especially for the preacher at the top, here at the front, to make it plain as he speaks that this business of trusting Jesus suddenly answers all the issues and all the problems and wipes away all the troubles. That those of us with intellectual problems are going to suddenly find that trusting Jesus immediately dispenses with them. Or those of us with deep emotional hurts and problems are going to find immediately they've all gone. Many of us will find, as we come into the ministry of Jesus and under his authority, that there's still areas of hesitation. I have to say that you can be at the very top in denominational leadership and church leadership. You can be a pastor and a missionary of many years standing. but you could be wrestling with hesitations and doubts. I'm so grateful that we heard about spiritual dryness. You don't often hear missionaries speak honestly and openly. You don't often hear us as preachers speak openly and honestly. We need to understand at the very peak of Christ's authority, there were still some there feeling dry and hesitant and wondering. There may be some here tonight on International Night with a whole world to win and the glorious Lord to worship who still have within their hearts hesitancies. And Jesus would say to you and to me, I've done everything for you. I can't do more. My body's been broken upon a cross for your sin. I've been raised from the dead by my Father. I'm risen and alive and ascending, and I've sent my Spirit. Will you trust me? Wherever you are, there may still be deep doubts. Will you come with me? He says it to those disciples, and with great authority, he says it to you and me. And when we trust, he says, will you go? Will you go for me? Go and make disciples. And he doesn't limit it, he says, all nations. And that word all then embraces the whole world in a way that nobody had dreamt possible until this extraordinary Lord speaks in Galilee and gives the command. Will you go? Now the thing about going is that you can see it happening. The thing about going is that it's actually visible and it's practical. And when somebody says they're going somewhere, you can see whether they are or they're not. There have been lots of surprises for me coming to Brisbane. But one of them, it's a pretty obvious surprise actually, because as soon as you leave Cambridge, it's nearly always the case. I'd have been amazed at how few bicycles there are here. In Cambridge, we have thousands of bicycles, and in the first week of October, over 10,000 bicycles hit the street within a week. As all the students come back. And everybody cycles. And I cycle. Most days I do. And the boys gave me, a little while ago, a mileometer. We still measure in miles over in the old country. And this mileometer, you'll know what they are. You stick it on the front wheel alongside. And there's a little counter on the spokes. And as the counter goes round, it goes clunk, clunk, clunk. And notches up how far you've gone. And the extraordinary thing is that sometimes you can really think you've gone places and you look down and you see you only travelled sort of half a mile. You feel exhausted. And sometimes when you look down and you realise that a great deal has happened and you've gone quite a long way. Now Jesus is saying to every one of you and me, I want there to be that movement, that going for me. It's got to be that kind of clunk, clunk as you move. For some of us, it won't be very far. For some of us who are elderly, it's going to be into that quiet room where Jesus says in Matthew 6, you have a room, do you, where you can be quiet? Just one room? Well, will you go there and close the door and pray to your Father in secret? And every single one of us can walk there, clunk, clunk. It doesn't take very far, but it's there that we pray and we remember those in mission and we're committed to a world. He's going to ask you to travel perhaps a little bit further. It may be somebody with whom you work or relax. Maybe somebody very close within the home. Clunk, clunk, are you going to move there? So that person might hear about Jesus through you. For some people it means going a long way. Clunk, clunk, clunk. Zimbabwe. Miles away into the dark interior of Queensland. It could be anywhere. There are even missionaries coming to Great Britain, and we need them. And most of our churches, and I have been thrilled by this, understand what it means that the gospel message is heard, that each one of us are involved, and those who are going for the Lord, sometimes a long way away, are going with us and they're going for us. Every Sunday in my church, we have airmail letters already stamped and addressed. For our missionaries away, and every Sunday different people in the church take those and they write a letter immediately. We say, right, do it now, this afternoon. Tell them about your love for them, tell them about yourself, so that every week our missionaries know that they belong to us. And every time we hear about the world to be won, it not only means that you and I have to do work where we are, go clunk, clunk, clunk where we are, but it means we have to care and we have to love and we have to nurture those who've gone, and we have every single one of us to be aware that the Lord may call us to go much further than we've ever imagined now. It may be, as the Lord would speak tonight, having presented the world challenge, that there are others here who are going to be called to go a long way. I pray that you will dare to respond to that. For the Lord will go on calling us, because there's a whole world to win, and he needs you and me to do it. But what's absolutely certain is that we've got to go on going ourselves. And that every single one of us, because of a world to be won, must go for him.